Good morning. Great to see all of you this morning. Would you consider yourself to be a patient person? Yeah, we all laugh, right? We all know the answer to that. I naturally am definitely not a patient person. And I think that, like, hopefully my wife has seen that, improve over the years. She's not here this morning to be able to say yes or no, so maybe that's a good thing. But patience definitely is not one of my strong suits. I think it's something that many of us struggle with, especially in our modern day culture, right? The way things have progressed within our culture, the way technology is, the way everything is, we struggle with patience. I think it's probably the reason why Catherine likes to go to Disneyland and I don't want to go there. I think she's more patient than me. There's an aspect of Disneyland and things like that. I just don't want to wait in lines. I just don't like lines. Are you one of those people when you go to the grocery store and you're looking for the shortest line and you're measuring it? I'm like one of those people where it's like, you do a scan and you're like looking, okay, that person has more groceries in their basket than this person. So they're probably going to go faster and you're gauging it. And then you stand in line and then you're like, shoot, I made the wrong decision. As the one line goes faster than the other, that is me, and I'm not very proud of that. The dictionary definition for patience is this: the ability to wait or to continue to do something despite difficulties, or to suffer without complaining or becoming annoyed. It's kind of a long definition. I like the way Charles Stanley, that's his dad. I like the way he says it. He says, patience is the will to wait without frustration, irritation, or anger. Something that we really could use more of these days, right? Patience isn't a natural trait. I don't think it's a natural trait. I think patience is something that is developed in someone's life. Patience, when you look at the Bible, it's not a spiritual gifting that comes upon you. But we do see in the Bible that patience is produced in us through the work of God's Holy Spirit. So God's Spirit within us develops it within us. It's not a gift. Sometimes a spiritual gift is something that is just, boom, it's given to you, then you have it. Patience is the slow work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Galatians chapter 5, which we're basing this whole series on, verse 22 says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience. So we looked at love. We looked at joy the last several weeks. We looked at peace. And now we're looking at patience. I actually think that when we have love and joy and peace in our lives, patience is something that naturally comes along. It's like a train. It hitches on to those first three and comes along with those. If we struggle with love, we're probably not going to be patient people. If we struggle with that aspect of having peace within our hearts, we're not going to be patient people. It hitches on to those. J.I. Packer, well-known theologian, he wrote a book called Knowing and Doing the Will of God. He wrote this: love is the Christ-like reaction to people's malice. Joy is the Christ-like reaction to depressing circumstances. Peace is the Christ-like reaction to troubles, threats, and invitations to anxiety. Patience is the Christ-like reaction to all that is maddening. I like how he used that word, maddening. Think of all the things in the world today that make you mad, that's maddening. And patience is that Christ-like reaction to it. That word peace that is interpreted in our English Bibles oftentimes, especially here in Galatians chapter 5, it comes from the Greek word makrothumia. Macro means long. Thumia means temper, so it's literally saying long temper. That's what patience comes from, in that word, long temper. And in some translations of the Bible, it would come across as long suffering. When you open up your Bible, maybe in the KJV, Tim, it would be long suffering. Notice how I pointed you out there again. So patience is this aspect. It's anger taking a very long time to build up. It's taking a long time before it's expressed. And when it is ever expressed, it's under control. There's this aspect of it being under control. So when we look at this aspect of patience, I couldn't help but going back to the Old Testament. And I think that there's a connection between the Greek word, makrothumia, and the Hebrew word that comes out in the Old Testament. And I think we have to look at, if we want to understand patience, we have to look at God, who God is. God ultimately is the one who is patient. And when we look at him, even if you go to the Old Testament, I'm going to show you, he's an example of patience. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. Incredibly important passage. This is a passage where God is revealing himself to Moses. They've just had an incident where God has taken them from slavery into the desert, out of slavery. He's freed them. Moses has gone up onto the mountain to meet with God. He receives the Ten Commandments. He comes back down. He finds that the people have made an idol out of gold, a golden idol. What was it? A cow or whatever? A calf. There you go. That's the English word, calf. And God is a little bit ticked off. But later on, God reveals himself to Moses. And this is what it says. It says, the Lord passed in front of Moses calling out, Yahweh, the Lord. Actually, in Hebrew, it would be Yahweh, Yahweh. The God of compassion and mercy. I'm slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Do you know that this is the most repeated passage of Scripture through the Old Testament describing God? This is the first time it shows up in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament writers repeat it over and over and over again. Okay, if you look to the Old Testament, it continues to show up. When God is describing himself or people are describing God, it's a God of compassion and mercy. This is who God is. He is slow to anger, filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Isn't that a God you want to know? This is who he is. You want to find a funny part about this? The Hebrew word for this slow to anger, this idea of patience in the Old Testament, is erek apayim, which literally means long nostrils. Literally means long nostrils. So this idea of having patience throughout the Old Testament, throughout the Hebrew Bible, they describe patience as having long nostrils. It's really weird. So if you come up to your friend and you want to describe them to someone they don't know, you introduce them. This is my friend Bob, and he's got long nostrils. Where that comes from is that idea of anger in the Hebrew Bible is this idea of having a red nose or a hot nose. So when someone is described as being angry in Hebrew, it's described as being you're hot-nosed. Have you ever seen someone get angry and maybe their face turns red out of their anger? And I guess thousands of years ago, when they're looking at someone who's angry, the only way they could describe it is that person has a hot nose. So whenever you're looking in the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament and it comes on that word anger, it probably is actually in the Hebrew saying that person has a hot nose. And so when someone is described in the Old Testament as having patience or slow to anger, it's saying they have a long nose. It's literally saying it takes a long time for them to get angry. They're slow to anger. Are you long-nosed? Are you long-nosed? So as God is calling Moses out of his existence in the desert, where he's just taking care of sheep. And he says, I want you to be my spokesperson. I want you to go and free the people of Israel out of slavery. Moses has all sorts of excuses. You probably know this story. He has all sorts of excuses as to why he can't do it. When you walk through the Old Testament, this story of God speaking to Moses is the first time that it says God is angry. It doesn't show up in Genesis. It shows up here. It says, Moses pleaded with the Lord, O Lord, I'm not very good with words. I've never been, and I'm not now, even though you've spoken to me. I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. He had a hot nose. Let's look at what happens afterwards. Is God going to strike Moses down? Is he going to kill him? He's like, I'm going to get somebody else. This is God's response. He says, all right. What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he speaks well. And look, he's on his way to meet you now. He'll be delighted to see you. Talk to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with you, with both of you as you speak, and I'll instruct you both in what to do. This is the first time in Scripture that God says, it says God is angry. He's angry because Moses continues to push against God and said, I'm not going to do what you've asked me to do. Find someone else. And God's wanting to use Moses. But I want you to see how this story plays out. Even in God's anger with Moses, it's like, all right, Moses, I'm going to work with you. I'm going to work with you. Here's plan B. I'm going to get your brother, Aaron, to work with you. This is plan B. How many plan Bs has God been working with you on? Or Cs or Ds? Or maybe you are resisting God. You're pushing, you're going your own way. And maybe even out of God's anger, he's got actually an incredibly long nose for you. He's got a ton of patience for you. He had a ton of patience with Moses. And he's like, all right, Moses, I'm going to work with you. Here is plan B. And this wasn't plan A. In fact, him going with plan B meant that there were consequences for it. Him working through Aaron wasn't the best situation, right? Aaron was the guy who made the golden calf later on. And he's the guy who's like, somehow like this gold went into the fire and popped out a golden calf. I don't know how it happened. This wasn't God's best. But he's like, listen, I'm going to bless you anyway. He's going to work with you. You know, throughout Scripture, when it talks about the wrath of God, most of the time when it's talking about the wrath of God, it's referring to the fact that there are consequences to walking away from God's best for you. There's natural consequences for that. And yet God has patience. He has patience, even when we go down our own path of destruction. Paul riffs on this in 1 Timothy as he's writing his mentee, and he says this. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. I love that. Paul recognizes, he's like, man, I'm like the worst sinner. Of everybody in this room, I am the worst sinner. And I have received the mercy of God. It's his great patience that I've been able to be saved. And Paul is saying, if he can do that with me, how much more with you? How much more does God have patience with you? And he has patience with you. This idea of sin is us basically saying, God, I want to do my own thing. I see that this is written in the scripture. This is what you've said, but I want to do my own thing. And we walk away from God. We want to do our own thing. But he's the one who wrote the owner's manual, right? He's the one who's created us. He knows truly what's best for us. Even though we choose to use his good world and to use our lives in a different way. Reminds me when I was a kid, like many kids, I think I was a little bit fascinated with fire. And, you know, me and my buddy, like we're in the garage and we're looking at all the fun cans that my dad had on the shelf in the garage. And found this can of WD-40. And we're like, what would this do if we take this to a flame? So the fun thing about it, you know, WD-40 has that little like straw on the end. And we found that if we took like the lighter and like sprayed it with WD-40, it would make this really cool blowtorch. Now, if you're a kid in the room, do not try this. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what I did. So we're like blowtorching all sorts of stuff. We're like, this is amazing. It creates this huge flame. And like we're going up to like little ants on the sidewalk and blowtorching them and just finding all sorts of stuff that we can light on fire. Later that day, I think it was when my parents, they come into the garage and they're like, what's that smell in here? What were you doing? And it came out what I was doing. And I found out that, like, what I was doing was incredibly dangerous. I didn't know at the time. It was just too much fun. But what could have happened was the flame could have shot down that little straw and that can could have blown up in my hand. I was playing with fire. I was using the WD-40 in a way it wasn't created for. It was meant to, like, lubricate stuff. It wasn't meant as a blowtorch. And I got away with it. But something bad really, really could have happened. And I think in a lot of ways, that is how it is when it comes to our relationship with God and sin and scripture, is God saying, this is how I created you. I know what's best for you. I know how you should live in terms of what's best. And we're over there going, yeah, but this is so much fun, playing with this fire. Until it blows up in our hands, right? We lose a hand or an eye or whatever it is. As we head down our path of destruction. But we experience the patience of God. God is incredibly patient with us. Romans chapter 2, verse 3 says this, since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? He's talking about sin. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? This is talking about this aspect of judgment, recognizing God's patience for us and how we are to look upon other people. We want to accept God's mercy and grace and patience for us. Do we have the same for others? Our tendency as humans at times is to accept God's mercy and grace for our lives, but have very little for other people, have very little patience for others. And Paul says this to the Romans. He says, can't you see it is his kindness that turns you from your sin? It's God's kindness. It's God's kindness. This is who God is. In the middle of our sin, in the middle of us going down the wrong path, it's not God's screaming, judging voice, the thunder coming down from heaven, striking us. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. When we accept the forgiveness of God in our lives and we understand God's patience with us, when we truly get that, it's way easier for us to have patience for one another. Way, way easier. When we don't understand God's forgiveness for us, we really, it's hard. We don't have patience for other people. Second Peter, I'm going to take you to another scripture here. Second Peter chapter 3. This is Peter speaking into the situation. This is really interesting. He says, "We are looking forward to the new heavens and new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you're waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved." We're looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth. When Jesus was here, he painted this beautiful picture of the kingdom of God. And when he arrived, the kingdom of God also arrived in part. But he talked about how the kingdom of God, the way it was going to look when he returns again and when he makes all things new. And there's a part of us, there's a portion of us that looks forward to that day. God, we look forward to when you're going to take away all the pain and the sickness and the war and the frustrations that we feel. And we want that so bad. And to be honest, I think for many of us, when we look out into the world that we're experiencing, it's hard to have patience. It's maddening. And we long for God to make it right. And I think Peter speaking is, we look forward to the new heavens and the new earth. And so, dear friends, he says, while you are waiting, there's a portion of this is while we're waiting for God to actually make things right, we need to have patience. Do we have patience for the world that God wants to create? While we are waiting, how should we live? Make every effort to live peaceful lives. Peace. While we're waiting for God to make things right, live peaceful lives. It's that aspect of in the midst of crazy things happening around us, in the midst of the storm, if you can remember the Twister clip, if you were here last week that I showed, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the tornado in our lives, being able to have peace. Being able to have peace with God, being able to have peace with each other. Live peaceful lives. Live a life that is pure and blameless. It speaks into our morality, how we live. It speaks into our sexuality. It speaks into how we deal with our finances. It speaks into how we use our spare time. While you are waiting for God to make this world perfect, live in peace with each other. Live a life that's pure and blameless. God's patience gives us time for the world to be saved. Do we have patience with the world around us? Do we have patience? Over the last couple years, through what we've gone through, I've experienced, and many of us have experienced, a world that's incredibly impatient. Incredibly impatient, where we want things to change now. We want things right now. But patience is recognizing who is in control. Saying, God, I don't understand what is going on in this world, but I trust you. I trust you. Patience isn't being indifferent. Patience Sometimes patience can be interpreted as you don't care. You're being indifferent. And it's not. Patience is not about being weak. Patience is recognizing who is strong. Patience is having faith in the one who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Patience is recognizing that, like, I can't change the world, but I believe in the one who can. Patience doesn't mean you don't get angry. The question is, what do you do with the anger that you have? What do you do with the anger that you have? That's what's most important, really. Patience allows you to let go of immediate gratification. We want to be gratified now in a lot of areas in our lives. And when we open up scripture, sometimes we're like, God, did you really say it like that? Did you really mean that? I don't think so. Because the word of God and the things that God wants to speak into our lives actually requires us to be patient. It requires us to be patient. We have to trust in him that what he's saying and how he's asking us to live, that he's really going to produce those things, that we can trust him in it. Kim, can you come and help me? Patience. We want to take shortcuts. We want to do things how we want to do them. But patience says, God, I trust you. Patience is essential for obedience to God. If you want to be a person that wants to be obedient to God, patience is essential. I want to read you this quote. It's from this book. It's a little bit goofy, but it's from this book. It's called Introduction to Psychology and Counseling from a Christian Perspective. This is an old book. It's from 91. Some of you laugh. You're like, that's not old. But I want you to think in terms of what we've experienced over the last couple years. So this was written in 1991. Patience is an excellent conscious defense against the frequent minor frustrations of life. Selfish, immature individuals who give themselves too many rights are constantly plagued with anger, since many of their rights are violated. Giving up those rights to God and expecting fewer things to be perfect will result in patience, greater humility, less anger, and greater joy in life. There's a lot of truth to this, you guys. There's a lot of truth. I found that interesting. I just ended up focusing on that thing of too many rights. You could reword that in terms of that idea of entitlement. We struggle in the 21st century with that sense of entitlement. But who are we giving up our rights to? Notice what it says. Giving up our rights to God. Giving up our rights to God is the key. It's the key to patience and humility and joy and less anger. You can't control what is going on in the world today, but you can control how you respond. And I believe that this is what should define the church. We're not in control of what our leaders decide, the things that happen in our world today. But we'll believe in a God that's bigger and greater than those things. When it comes to how you live your life, Have you given up your rights to God? Folks, this is the key to living out a Christian life. This is the key to being a follower of Jesus. And this is the part that we struggle with so much, in the fact that we say, Jesus, I believe in you. Forgive me of my sin. And he does. The moment you reach out to him and you say, would you forgive me? He forgives you. But the part that's next is the hardest, when he says, come follow me. That's the hard part. That is the hard part. Because it truly is saying, I'm giving up my rights. I'm giving up my rights. Why don't you stand with me? I think you could be here in this room today, and there's different things that the Holy Spirit is pointing out to you as I'm talking this morning. And for each one of you, it's going to be different. There are rights that you're holding on to. There's areas of your life that you're struggling with patience. Maybe there's areas of your life that you're actually having a hard time having mercy for somebody else, patience with somebody else. And this patience that God wants to give you, it's not a gift, but it is something that the Holy Spirit wants to develop in your life. And it's constantly relying upon him. It's constantly coming back to him and recognizing who he is and what he wants to do in your life. Say, God, would you fill me with patience? Why don't you bow your heads with me this morning? If you've been someone who's been walking down your own path, would you just reach out to God right now, who is so patient, filled with unfailing love, and say, God, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? Thank you for forgiving me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit that produces love in my life. Fill me with your Spirit that produces joy in my life. Fill me with your Spirit that produces peace in my life. And that thing called patience that I just so struggle with. Patience for me. There's times that I stumble and I beat up on myself, and I know that you have patience for me. So Lord, I pray that you'd help me to have patience for myself. And Lord, as I accept your patience and forgiveness, help me to have patience for others. For others. That they're not where they need to be either. But Lord, you're in control. And this world seems to be a mess. Sometimes I just want to give up. But God, Lord, we recognize that you're bigger than all this. The nation of Israel, for so long, was in slavery. And you heard their cries. And you changed everything. Jesus, would you hear our cries? We know that it's not in our timing, it's in your timing. There's things in our lives that we have wanted last year or the year before or 5 years ago, and it still hasn't happened. And we don't know why, but you do. You know better than me. And so, Lord, we choose to place our faith in you, our trust in you, in your timing. And as I wait, as we wait for your timing, dear Holy Spirit, We choose to be patient. Fill us with peace. May we be agents of peace within our world and our culture today. Help us to live pure and holy lives before you. I thank you, Lord, that you don't ask us to do anything that you haven't done. The only way we can be patient is because you are, and you fill us with that. Fill us with these fruits, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.